What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Footy Prime's $6 deal is back. Order any Craig Forrest piled high with Jimmy Brennan, cheese, pepperoni, Brennan Dunlop, and spicy James Charman, and get any fully loaded stuffed crust Dan Wong for only $6. Plus, if you order online, you'll get a free box of Cialis or Just for Men. So call, click, or come in to get your $6 deal right here at Footy Prime the Podcast. Let's get this party started.
Offer not valid for eating, takeout, or delivery.
Hey, Wonger, is your crust stuffed? Is it stuffed?
Oh, absolutely.
With what?
Geez, that was I didn't expect that question. Usually it would probably be stuffed with porridge. I really like oatmeal, brown sugar, and sometimes ham, just straight old Black Forest ham.
Don't you think the stuffed crust is a bit overdoing it with the pizza? Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's too much. That's not pizza. It's disgusting.
What are you talking about? Look at you all grumpy. You know, progression. No. Nothing. It doesn't always have to be traditional, Jimmy.
You know why Jimmy's
it
grumpy,
should be.
Right?
It should be authentic. It should be authentic pizza.
But the thin margherita,
minute and a half in the oven, bang, back out.
How come you don't have a pizza? Why don't you have a pizza English pie with pizza?
You know, we have tried that before, and it didn't sell.
Oh,
just crazy to me. We have pepperoni in there, sausage, obviously a lot of tomatoes.
Hey,
cheese.
Seeing as you get a Cialis with the pizza, do you think Brendan Dunlop, if he took a Cialis, would get a stiff neck?
We can make fun of him because he's not here.
He's not here. You might be.
By the way, on the last show that I was on, he was talking about how I'm the major bully towards him, and was talking about how nice Jimmy Brennan was to him. It's such crap.
Oh,
no,
it's crap.
You are a bully.
It just isn't true.
You're a bully. You're a bully, right? Tim.
You are way worse than anyone towards him, but for some reason he's forgiven you. I don't get it at all.
So I was up
in, behind his back.
Yeah, I was up in New Market with Jimmy Brennan having a beer on Main Street, and we had a good chuckle. And Jimmy actually said, "Oh, I love winding him up." That was a quote. And then we laughed just after that line, just because I go, it's so much fun.
I do.
So
like
B might join us tonight. He's actually at the TFC Canada Championship, Canadian Championship match. He might join us. We might try and call him. We won't hear him. It'd be too loud, too vociferous. But who knows? It might be a bit of fun. The reason Jimmy's grumpy, though, is because he feels badly for his good friend Craig Forrest. Is it a tough day?
I'm a bit down.
I think we're all a bit down for Craig. Craig, you want to explain to the audience what happened today?
Well, maybe you should explain it.
I don't know the full story, though. I kind of came in late.
Okay. So I went down to level 4 parking where my car is because I had to head out, and it wasn't there.
Dude, where's my car?
Right.
And it wasn't on level 3?
So I went to level 3. It wasn't there. Went to level 5. Went to level 2. Walked around the whole fucking place. You know, it was like Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where he went to his rental car and he was like, and the space is empty with skid marks.
Your car was nicked.
It's gone.
And no sites, no reports. Do the cops take it seriously?
I haven't reported it yet.
Well, that might be an idea.
Well, I'm waiting for the cameras to see what they've got on these cameras and see if it's still in the what happened.
But then what? What, so you what, get do, the cameras.
Do you think someone just drove it from P4 to P1 just to play games with you?
You know what?
It's gone. Call the police.
It might have been you.
Jimmy,
you're going to go back there tomorrow morning. It's going to be there. P4. Perfect.
That's not what you asked for Craig's keys for, was it?
Catch me if you can.
You probably should have reported it because you won't get any insurance, right, if you don't report it.
I'm going to report it. But the thing is, the last time I drove it was like on Sunday afternoon. So
Saturday
afternoon. So Sunday, yeah. Monday, Tuesday, like what's another couple hours? You know, it's not like they're going to be like, oh, we would have been on it. Yeah, right.
Well, you know what's going to be funny is when they show the camera and there's Jimmy's the windows down and Jimmy's smiling face giving you the finger and he parked it on the end of the road.
Hey, it's in a cargo container right now, my friend. Gone.
On its way to Eastern Europe. For sure.
Yeah.
Belarus. That does suck though, man. It does suck. So, but if anyone's seen a pink Lamborghini driving around town in the last 3 days, please let us know because Craig's missing it.
Yeah. With a blow up doll in the back seat.
No, I took that out.
You can take everything, but just leave me that.
If Craig panned the camera left, you'd see the blow up doll on his couch.
Just return Clarice. Keep the Lambo, but return Clarice, please.
And you know what? The funniest thing is it was an absolute disgrace inside. Like there was salt stains inside from semis going by and whatever. So
salt, was it? Yeah.
Well, that's what I told Wonger when he was cleaning it up.
I couldn't be in it anymore. I said, dude, we got to clean it up. So Craig and I spent Friday afternoon, last Friday, cleaning his car, probably, 2 hours with the Armor All. We go to the
hose the mats down. Yeah,
hose, cleaned it out, threw away all kinds of junk. There was an old coffee maker with vermin in it that we just threw in my garbage can. Literally cleaned it out, and then a day later, it's stolen. So don't, you know, the lesson is don't clean your car.
You had a coffee maker in your car?
Yeah.
You just drive and coffee's being made?
Yeah, it's on a timer.
Big pot of coffee?
Yeah, I put it on a timer, so I get down the car. It's already made. It's like a tea's made.
Hey, little toaster in there where the glove box is. Little bagel in the morning.
Yeah, all gone, Jimmy.
Oh, I'd be so mad.
It does suck. And the worst part is that you need a new car now, and it's so hard to find any car that's in stock at the moment, either used or otherwise. It's brutal. Yeah. So you could be walking for a while, pal.
Yeah, but the worst thing, too, is that $10,000 Rolex that you had in the front glove box is gone as well. So,
yeah,
worth more than the car.
There's a few other things probably in there, that computer bag.
Oh, a set of golf clubs. Actually, there's three.
Three computers, three iMacs. Oh, yeah, three iMacs. Yeah.
Well, let's try and make as many, you know, car references at Craig's expense over the next 45 minutes or so. Okay. Let's do our best here. Footballers, you guys always have nice cars, right? And that's a big thing. You get your first big contract, you get a decent car. I mean, I'm assuming car theft is pretty huge in the football world, isn't it?
Well, actually, yeah. But when I was in West Ham, last thing I wanted to do, I mean, petrol prices there are always been more expensive. So a good example is now it's equivalent of $2.90 Canadian for a liter over there. So we were doing 130 mile a day. So we used a club car and it was with Ford Mondeo, candy apple red. Yeah, it was hot.
Not too sexy.
No.
And I used to like the Mondeo.
Yeah, not a bad car, eh? I mean, for what it was. We battered the hell out of it. But speaking of that, I was driving to the Swallow Hotel. Do you know the Swallow, Jimmy?
Yeah, I do.
Love the Swallow.
Swallow's really good.
Hard to find sometimes. It is. It's tucked away. Serious, in the middle of nowhere.
This is a serious question. So I'm on the M25.
Did you have to ask for directions to the Swallow?
Did you have to beg for directions?
Usually.
Please open the door. I want a room at the inn.
Come on, Craig. What spit do I do? Red wine. Spit it out. Red wine just came out of Jimmy's nose.
I'm on the M25, and there's Dutch lorry driver, because he's sitting on the other side of the lorry. I could see him start to come out before I'd gone by him. It's like three or four lanes, right? And this gutless Ford Mondeo, I put the foot down. It was one of those pauses, bam, like that. But it was too late. He'd already clipped me, hit me hard, though. Like, put a big back dent in the back quarter panel and spun me around. And every time I was spinning around, I was looking at this Dutch lorry fucking coming right at me. I couldn't believe it didn't flip, but it didn't. It stayed upright, luckily. And, yeah. So that dent stayed on there. I reported it to the, we did all the things. And then because it was a club car, nobody at the club really dealt with it. And then DeCanio ended up with it. And then he decided he was going to, he was pissed off about something. And he just pulled up in front of the terminal at Heathrow Airport and got a flight to Italy. He just left his car right in front of the terminal.
Left your old Ford Mondeo.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So there's a call. Story. We got a call. The car is there. It was like, no, no, no. DeCanio was using it. Like, oh, fuck.
So you'd like sign out the club car. Like, it wasn't like your club car per se. It's like a fleet of club cars. You need one, you sign out. And he happened to sign out the one that you'd used at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. We had it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once we were stuck in traffic, they didn't mind where you live, but it would, you know, to do it again, I would never do it. It was just too far drive, too much drive, and too.
Ipswich to London, right? Yeah.
That's yeah, a long it was way. Too, it's not a drive. Too dodgy. No, it's not.
Well, you said before, Craig, you think that's part of the reason why you got testicular cancer, because you had your phone in your pocket every day driving.
Yeah, between my legs. Before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know, right?
You never know.
No, he had it on vibrate as well. My, I remember
that was a problem.
Yeah, that was a good one.
My first car that I got was a Renault Megane, and I was so proud of this. It was my first car that I ever bought in my life, and it was black, and it was just everything that I wanted. Right, nice interior, nice rims on it. Back then, I'm young, and a week later, I get in an accident with this car. And I'm stuck in traffic, and I got my girlfriend at the time with me, right? Windows down, bit of garage music playing.
Going to the Swallow?
No. Yeah. Yeah. And as I'm driving, I start coming up to a little bit of traffic, so I slow down. And I'm just having a conversation, and all of a sudden, I get hit from behind. Bang. So I go flying forward, and I turn back. I'm like, Jesus. And I look at my girlfriend. I said, are you okay? And then all of a sudden, again, bang. And I go flying forward. My head hits the steering wheel. Okay. Nailed it. And I get out. I'm like, what the fuck? I get out of the car. And this woman gets out. And I guess her son. They come out. They're like, oh, Jesus, are you okay? And I was like, no. I said, look, I said, I can accept you hit me once. But twice. I said, what the fuck was that all about? And the woman's having a little giggle, and I could see her son having a giggle. Like, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. I said, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? She goes, well, I don't mean to be rude, but you've got like a rainbow shape on your forehead where I hit the steering wheel. It was a big red mark across my forehead. And I went, what? And I went and looked in the wing mirror. You should have seen the state of me. It was from eyebrow to eyebrow, this big red mark. So I had to go get that fixed. One week. That's all I had that car. Yeah. And I got nailed in the back. And I said to her, I said, well, why'd you hit me twice? And she goes, well, what happened was, she goes, when I hit you, she goes, I bounced off. She goes, I went to hit the brake, but I hit the accelerator instead, panicking. So she goes, I went through you again.
Jesus. How was your girlfriend? Was she all right?
What's that? Your girlfriend, she was okay. No, she was okay. I came out the worst. And then I had to go into training with this big rainbow on my forehead.
Look like an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, you should have seen the state of me. It was disgusting.
The first car I bought when I was 17. It was a beige 1.1 liter Volkswagen two-door. Just a basic car you could possibly imagine.
Was that the Polo?
No, that would be too upmarket. I think it was a Golf.
No, a Golf's better than a Polo.
Oh, it might have been a Polo. It was basic. But anyway, where my first place I lived when Frankie kicked me. Well, he didn't kick me out, but he got all serious with a girl and felt I should leave. And
no, so anyway, kicked out. That's kicked out.
Couldn't trust you, basically.
It is. What?
That's when they make it uncomfortable for you and they're more or less going, like, get out.
Yeah, that's right. Without saying it, you know, exactly yeah. that.
You know exactly what's happening. They don't yeah. talk to you.
So I was in between a really two good bars and nightclub on this side, bar over here. So they had to go by that area. My car was always parked there. So a couple assholes decided, I guess they would run over my car.
Like run.
Just run over it and then drop their ass right on the bonnet. Nice big dent on it. Yeah, it was fucking charming.
You don't park your car though anywhere near a pub or a club in London or in England, do you? I mean, Christ, there's always some idiot coming out at 11:05 p.m. Oh, let's jump in that car.
They're ridiculous. They'll piss on it. They'll jump on it.
There's nowhere to park though.
So you were 17, right? So you'd signed your forms, obviously, your professional papers. Was that your first contract or was it?
Yeah, it would have been my first pro contract.
And you feel, and how much was that for? Do you remember?
I think it was £175 a week.
Wow. And that was enough to get you. Were you at a do drop in still? Like nope. That wasn't the in, right?
No, I bought this. I actually bought this place.
On 175 quid a week?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't worth an awful lot of money, but it was a little apartment, little bed sit, and the market was going like crazy like it is now. And within a couple of years, it dropped 80% of value. It was awesome.
Jesus. But you bought that place. Once you got your first contract, you bought that place, bit of security, and you felt like, you know, the world is your oyster, right? You got a car, you got an apartment. You're pretty happy.
Yeah.
Was that the highest point
you could possibly buy? Buy high, sell low.
You've done that a few times in life, haven't you?
Yeah, I know. I can't win for losing.
Yep.
But I mean, that was, you must have felt pretty great though, right? You know, when you're young and you get your first job, say, I mean, I remember my first job, I wasn't making much money, but it's like, wow, I can afford stuff now, a little bit of stuff. Yeah. You feel great. As a footballer, what was your first contract like, Jimmy? The same kind as Craig? Was
yeah, I got a 176 pounds. Because they said I was a quid worth more than him.
Of course,
I thought it was inflation.
Yeah, no. And then that's when I got my car, and then I rented this place just around the corner from Ashton Gate in Bedminster, and it was above a carpet factory, like a little carpet shop. And it wasn't much in my flat, I'll tell you that. There was a mattress, a bed, and a TV, a couple of pots and pans that just sat there because I was eating out. And that was it. But I stayed in Diggs when I was in youth. I stayed with a family.
So yeah, condo machine there as well.
I got kicked out of my first Diggs, and then
why?
I just didn't get along with the guy.
What happened, Jimmy? What happened?
Did you have an affair with the mom?
That's no. What I was going to ask.
No, not at all.
Of course he did.
Did he try to have an affair with the mom?
No, maybe the daughter. But like, it's just we just didn't see eye to eye. And, you know, like when I first went over as well, and like every time he kept on giving me, you know, those little potato croquettes.
Yeah.
Like, dinner was every night with was croquettes and like gammon, and I just
gammon,
gammon's ham, steak ham,
sliced ham,
ham,
occasionally. Chopped a little pineapple on it.
Because you're giving him, I was giving my landlady 35 pounds. Well, I wasn't giving her the club.
Yeah.
As a youth player, I made 25 pounds a week, and my landlady got 35 pounds a week. So she's trying to make a few quid off it too, right?
Yeah.
So I had mashed potatoes for 56 days straight.
Yeah. And I was like that. Enough became enough. I said, I'm not eating this shit anymore. And then we started arguing. And then he goes, you're out of here. So I remember it was like about 6 at night, and I walked out with my bags and I'm just standing there. I'm going, where do I go now? Where do I go? I'm just,
yeah.
I called up this
no
guy.
Vision.
Tony.
He's got no Tony. Vision.
No, my head went. My head was gone. I argued with him. You know, fuck this. I'm out of here. I don't need any more potatoes. And I walked out and had my bags with me. And I was in the middle of nowhere. And I thought, what did I just do? Mm. So then
start the violins up.
Yeah. And then I've called up the club, and then the guy came and got me. I stayed with one of the players, and then they put me in another digs, and I was there for a couple of years in the new digs, and it was awesome.
Mm-mm. Hey, Jimmy, just to spite him, though, you went into the kitchen and grabbed the sack of potatoes, and that was one of the bags you brought with you, right?
Yeah, we started having a potato fight. I was launching those little croquettes, and he was throwing them back at me. And
so, but these billets, it's a bit like foster care, right? Like they just churn the players in and out, right? You'll be there for a while, then you'll move on, then someone else comes in. Some of these billets have been around for years, right? Is that how it kind of works?
Oh, yeah.
For some sure. of them, and then mine was new, brand new barrel bond.
Yeah, barrel bond.
Yeah,
that's her name.
Yeah.
Oh, barrel. Right. That's barrel. The dude drop in barrel.
Yes. Yeah. And she was awesome, but she had never had one before. And I was described as the colonial.
Did you have a Mrs. Robinson experience with her?
Oh, God.
And well, here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
All due respect to Barrel.
Barrel loves you more than you can know.
When I first met her, she had no teeth.
She had no teeth?
No.
None.
Yeah, no, she was pretty old, but she had no
teeth. Jimmy, keep the comments low.
Is that what they call gummer?
Yeah, that right. And to be honest with you, I don't know, man. Yeah. If I walked in there in the middle of the night, I don't think she'd have said no.
Hey, I remember I went into when I got into my new digs, and the woman she worked, her name was Rita. She worked as a receptionist at the club, nicest woman in the world, right? And I used to call her husband Chief because he was a big guy. I used to sit there and, you know, he dictated everything that was happening in the house. And they're nicest people in the world. And they had a daughter named Flo, and she was unbelievable, great person. But she was dating this guy who was a security guard in the city in Bristol, tattoos everywhere, big monster. He was a nice guy. And I remember I was there, you know, maybe a month in, and things were going nice. And I got my own room, and it must've been about maybe 11 o'clock at night. Rita and Chief were away, and I walked downstairs to go make a little cup of tea. I'm home by myself. And don't I walk into the kitchen and guess who's at it? Full on going flow at it. Oh yeah. Flow. And a security guard, and his look on his face was more or less saying, "Hey, Jimmy, get the fuck out of here." I went back up to my room and just sat there.
Listening. I bet you didn't just sit there.
I did nothing. I opened up the door. You know when you're just like in shock? I'm like, what's happening? I'm young. I'm like 17. I'm like, what's going on?
What is everything okay? Doing?
They're like, get out. Okay.
Are you guys wrestling?
I just sat in my bed. I was like,
Jimmy, you do know how babies were born, right?
I figured that out quickly.
Just didn't expect so when the security guard.
When you were kicked out of the billet, though, I mean, did they complain to the club about your behavior, and were you in trouble there? Did they find you another billet after that?
No, they got me another billet right away.
Did they ask you what happened?
No, there was about four or five players that were staying there. In fact, Carl Fletcher from the national team, he was over there. He was on trial at Bristol City at the time, so he was at the table that day when my head went.
Mm.
I just had enough, you know, when you're getting boiled. But like when everybody's complaining, and I was like, that's it. I'm saying something.
Because you think, I mean, Craig's mentioned this before about what they fed you at these billets, right? And you think the club who are paying these people would have a little word. I mean, nowadays, I'm assuming they're still billets, right? Yeah. In modern football, they must be talking to these people and saying, listen, these are athletes, need to be fed properly.
Well, they're also paying them probably twice as much.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Pay them a decent amount of money, but if you're making 35 quid and you're trying to make money off that, phew. What are you making? Yeah. £10 a week at the most? Like, come on.
Maybe they just want company, some of these people.
Oh, that was definitely part of it. Yeah, definitely part of it. And then I ended up with some buddies that came over, and I was like, there's no real space for them. It was like Coronation Street. And I thought, well, they said they could ask Mrs. Bond. So I asked her if the guys could stay, and she was, oh, no, no, I couldn't. No, she wasn't at all into it. And then they came over and they were staying with Frankie Yallop. And then they came over just for a visit. And she loved them from the first time she met him. Oh, why don't you come stay with us? I was like, seemed to be the way that a little while ago. Mm. They were good looking young guys. And Randy used to get out in the backyard. Can you imagine? He's Randy with the name Randy in England. He's in the backyard cutting her little two rows of like basic grass. With no shirt on, she's just like She was loving it. What are the neighbors talking? I love it. Oh my god!
Just like lubing up those gums.
Keep
your shirt off there. Hey, Randy.
That's when she started wearing her false teeth again.
Hey boys,
she looked like a different human being.
The way you said Randy, you sounded like one of those 18 wheelers that's on the radio. Hey candy cane.
Hey Ruben. Yeah. Hey, by the way, you mentioned that the Dutch lorry driver that you saw coming towards you, was it Louis Van Gaal? Because when I think of a Dutch truck driver, I think of Louis Van Gaal's head for some reason. That's the one that comes into mind.
No,
that'd be a better part of the story, I guess, if it was Louis Van Gaal. Just happened to be Dutch national team manager, Louis Van Gaal. Anyway. Any word from Dunlop yet? What's the score on the game, by the way?
Jeez. It's a lot of data to look at.
Let's have a look here.
0-0 for really important. Toronto.
0-0?
For Toronto,
JC?
Yeah. Affirmative.
Okay. This is important for a podcast that people will download that, well after the fact the game's finished.
Oh, wait. No, still no.
For okay. Toronto? Yeah.
Another update for you. Craig's car is still stolen.
Still hasn't reported it.
It's probably a policeman listening going, what are you doing? You have to report this straight away.
Oh, by that time he hears it, I will have reported it.
Yeah.
He has to make sure it's not on one of the floors.
Wouldn't that look silly?
It could well be in your building somewhere, right?
I'll bring it back tomorrow.
No.
I had a good day today. I was at the Canadian women's national team training at Kia, ahead of their match against Korea.
Awesome.
And nice. On the way home, I listened to your Julia Grosso podcast. Good interview, by the way. Congratulations. Good chat. But what was a little bit concerning for me at the training session was just three cameras. I was there with the parlay. It was us and two other cameras. That was it. There was no media there. The media avails are today and Saturday. And just what, you know, the game's growing and yeah, we keep hearing this and how mainstream Canada has accepted soccer. There are three cameras. If that was a men's training session, there have been, you know, at least 10 cameras. These are the Olympic champions.
Charms, how did you know? And the reason is, I'm on a mailing list. I didn't get an email.
I got the email, yeah, from the, it was a mailing, on the, I think it's on the mailing list, the media mailing list. You didn't get it?
No, I did not.
That's ridiculous. You should be on there.
I know. And I'm on it because I've been on it for the Jamaica. I mean, we've gone to the games and I did not get an email.
No, I got it. I think it was only this morning and I responded and straight back, got the confirmation for some interviews and stuff. And, it was actually, from that side of things, it's actually a lot easier than usual, to be honest with you.
But we would have also gone, had I got an email, I would have grabbed Jimmy or Craig or B, and we would have head down there with you.
Yeah, I would follow up on that tomorrow because you should have been on that for sure.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But most media outlets would have been.
Yep. So, like I said, Sportsnet was there, CBC. And the parlay, and no one else.
Can't believe the prime didn't make it. Hey, don't feel bad, Dan, man.
Well, mind you, Craig couldn't have got there anyway.
What's that?
Craig couldn't have got there anyway.
No. Yeah. I had to pick him up. Yeah. Jimmy, tell me what you're going to say.
I was going to say, don't feel bad. I didn't even get an email for the alumni.
Oh, right.
Oh, that you didn't, did you? That was weird.
Nope.
Do you ever?
No, I never get an email from.
Well, then you're not. You're just probably just not on the list.
Oh yeah, how do I get on the list?
Well, that's it. They should actually when they send emails out to guys like I'm on the list, just so you know, say hey, if you know people that aren't on the list, can you please send me their emails? But they don't.
And you didn't put my name forward, did you?
Well, I didn't realize you weren't on the list until now.
As a good friend,
maybe a billet from 1995 complained.
I'll get on that as soon as I find my car.
Oh God! You know that's not happening.
But anyway, so got some interviews done. Then there was
a good interview
spoken. We had Oh, Janine Becky at the end, actually. Sorry, not Janine Becky. Jesse Fleming, sorry, who's outstanding. Always a great interview, right? And I found also Julia yesterday was great as well. And listening to her, I just felt so old, though, listening to her talk. And the whole YouTube part and how she doesn't watch TV. It's like, wow, I'm not even that generation. I'm like a generation removed from that. You know, I just don't get it anymore. It's tough.
Yeah, my questions were dated us.
Yeah, they did.
Like we all went, Craig went through and he goes, no, these are all good. And then we're asking them and she's saying, no, don't know what you're talking about. I like three of them. Oh, yeah, I don't do that.
Don't think that all 21-year-olds don't watch Netflix.
I don't know. YouTube's kind of the go-to streaming service, I think.
I don't think young people do that, though. They just use their phones.
Yeah, I just use my phone. I'm quite trendy and hip with them.
Yeah, I can tell by that salmon shirt you got on again.
It's the same one he had on.
It's a coral peach.
He keeps bringing that back to our Wednesday night pod.
It's trendy.
Is that in your Wednesday night rotation and you just seem to gravitate towards it?
It was the only one clean.
All right, that's fair.
But they seem happy enough to talk to us. And it got me thinking about just media footballer relationships. And when you guys played, were you often pulled off?
sure you want it.
Occasionally.
If you mention the swallow now, this could be ridiculous.
No, were you frequently asked to fucking hell. The post-match interview, we ever pulled aside after the final whistle and asked to talk to, there you go. Okay. Jimmy, were you pulled off by the media much?
Yeah, I was actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was. But like,
did you enjoy it, or was that something you dreaded post-match?
Why are we so stupid?
I don't know. Why are we so immature?
It's embarrassing. Just how
we interviewed 21-year-old footballers who are clearly more mature than we are.
Way more mature.
Oh,
look at the state of us. This is brutal. Yeah. So when I got pulled off, it was by the media. It was look. I didn't mind it. I enjoyed it. You know, just talking because, you know, especially in England as well, and even to a certain extent when I was at Toronto FC, you build a rapport with the media. Oh, sorry.
We must interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to be joined by Brendan Dunlop live from BMO Field.
Hey, what's up, you losers?
Oh, guys, listen, B, speak up. It's so noisy there.
You guys are just talking about football. I'm actually fucking watching it. Tell us what's going on. Give us a play-by-play. You know what? Ismaël Koné is bloody good, guys. I'll tell you that much. You can just tell by the way he is on and off the ball. Like, does not look like a young kid at all. I'm really excited. I've only seen 27 minutes of him. I'm excited to see the rest of it. You know what? The crowd is pretty good. I got to be honest. The South End is rocking. I'm not in the South End. I'm sad and enjoying myself. $20 beers, boys. What are we doing in this country?
That's ridiculous.
Are you saying, though, there's no chance Ismaël Koné will be pulled off at halftime?
I think that Nancy wants to win this game. And to be honest, the way that the TFC seem to be having some trouble with him, no, I think we're going to get 90 minutes of Koné.
So to be clear, that if you were coaching, say you had a chance in the sidelines, you wouldn't pull off Koné.
Right now in this match, I would not pull off Koné. Is there a conversation I missed before?
Where no. He's a young player. I mean, would you? Can you see a time when you might pull him off?
Jimmy, what did you do? Jimmy, what did you do?
It was Sharps. Oh, Sharps is setting you up. Hey, have you ever had your car stolen? Because Craiger had his car stolen today.
What? Yeah. Oh, no, Craiger. Oh, you stopped going to Hamilton. What happened?
He's got a Presto card, so he's okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was in Hamilton today. No offense to any of the wonderful people that might be listening from Hamilton. It's a great city, but car theft is high. I'm sorry to hear that, Craiger.
You weren't in my car, were you?
No, it wasn't me, buddy. But, God, if one of us were to steal your car, I wouldn't want to see it afterwards.
No. Hey, how's the crowd there?
Yeah, the crowd's okay. The South End is full. I'm looking at the South End from the northeast corner, and it's kind of scattered. You know what it looks like? It looks like Canada Honduras or Canada El Salvador minus the blue in the rest of the stadium. But the South End is full, and the South End is loud.
What about Montreal? Do they have a few fans down?
Would Montreal have what, Jimmy?
Do they have a few fans?
Oh, they would be above me. I can't hear them. I can't hear them at the moment, but usually they have some traveling fans.
So you haven't got your normal seats for this match?
Yes, correct. I do not have my normal seats this match. I'm sitting with my cousin Jay.
Hey Jay, put Jay on.
I love the South. Jay, do you want to make a Footy Prime appearance? They prefer to talk to you, Jay. Yeah, understandable. You can politely decline. His agents say he's unavailable for the time being.
Can we ask Jay a question? Like, can you ask him a question on our behalf?
Say it again.
Can you ask Jay a question on our behalf?
Yes, I will ask Jay a question on your behalf.
Okay, can you ask him how frustrating is it to be fending off all the fans who are gathering around Brendan Dunlop trying to get an autograph?
They figured out why we're sitting in your seats and not in my seats in the South End. Yes. He's used to that. That's why we're sitting in this section. Good question, guys. Oh, good. I feel like I've made my contribution to the show, so I'm going to enjoy my $20 beer.
Enjoy that beer. Don't spill it. Enjoy every dollar. It's a lot of sips there.
Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks, B. Appreciate it, pal. Enjoy the game.
Why did he have a rubber nose and glasses on?
Well, I know. He's a bit much, isn't it?
Is he incognito?
He thinks he is, yeah. Yeah. He gets more attention wearing that than without.
Look like Inspector Gadget.
Now, when he does get mobbed by, you know, all the people, do you think he's beating off the fans with both hands?
Yep, I do. It's definitely a two-handed job, that's for sure.
Oh, come on.
We're making more references about that than Craig's car so far in this podcast. The plan was to make car references.
We should get Gary Newman on the show.
In cars?
Yeah.
He could
sing a song.
I was going to say Gary Glitter. Again, it would fit into the theme today. Oh. Different kind of theme.
It's not good.
Not
Gary Glitter is not a good
very
person.
Bad theme. What were you talking about beforehand?
I was going to go off on Jimmy, not pull off on Jimmy, but go off on Jimmy's story about catching his billet's daughter and the security tattooed security guard having sex, because I caught my parents having sex and it's still traumatic. 50, 40 some years later.
Jesus.
It was horrible. Yeah, it wasn't good at all, and it still freaks me out to think about what they were doing, because they weren't in a regular position.
It wasn't missionary.
They were toed head to toe, and things were going on, and that's not what any 12-year-old should see.
It was a session, was it?
It was a session.
Did your dad say, "Let the boy watch"? No.
He did with a Chinese accent.
Let the boy watch.
He must watch and learn.
5 spice powder.
Oh, that's horrible. That's
awful. Terrible. That was probably the worst line, I think, actually, in the history of this podcast. A podcast full of really bad lines.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Jesus. So is it still vivid in your mind? Like,
well, the worst thing
is,
like, they were audacious. I was downstairs in the basement with my older brothers and one of their friends. We were playing Risk. And so, you know, Risk can go on forever, and we're playing Risk, and, you know, you're trying to be the geographic hero and a titan of the board. So you hold your pee and then finally you have to go to the bathroom. So I thought I was being smart. Everyone goes to the bathroom at the same time. We have two bathrooms, one on the first floor, one on the second. I thought I was being smart. I was going to sneak up, not wake them up. So I was all quiet up the stairs, and usually they have the door closed. They were so audacious with their session that the door wasn't closed. And so I got a full peek, and then my mom's head popped up over my dad's hip. And then I went into the bathroom, and I peed. Ghost white as Dan Wong could ever be, the whitest I've ever been in my life. I'm peeing and I'm just in shock because I'm playing Risk. It's like
playing Risk.
That's less risky. So I come out of the bathroom and now they're both I just like don't look in the room and just do a U-turn, and I'm about two or three stairs down, and my mom goes, "Dan," and I'm like, "Yes." And is everything all right? And now they're under the blanket sitting normally. And I'm like, yes, everything's fine. And I just walk down the stairs, and I have not played Risk since. That has ruined me for Risk.
When you saw your mom again, my parents ruined
me for risk.
Was there like this uncomfortable moment when you saw your mom and dad for the next few hours or days? You know, a moment when you catched each other's eyes and there was this all-knowing glance, like, "Wow."
Yeah, my dad winked at me my dad would wink at me and go, "Hey, not bad, eh?" For an older
next time you watch.
Yeah, except he didn't have an accent. That's horrible.
You said that. You said he did.
I know. I he had a regular. He sounded like we sound, but that was just being racist.
That's a horrible childhood experience.
Oh yeah, it was fantastically horrible.
I didn't think it'd be risk that you would have stopped and remind you. I thought it might have been the actual 69 that you might have reminded you of it.
Yeah. I have to tell you,
meal for two. Oh my God.
You think when he counts, he goes 66, 67, 68, 70, 71. 72.
That's what I do. That's exactly it. And then I roll some dice.
Any other awful traumatic childhood experiences anyone wants to regale? Actually, Wonga, would that be one of those stories that in retrospect you think to yourself, maybe I shouldn't have said it on a podcast available to thousands?
No, see, my father's passed. My mother has dementia.
Christ for that, then.
It's the perfect time to say it.
Yes.
No, there will be no consequences whatsoever with this story.
I think that makes it even worse, doesn't it?
Wow. Yeah. What, I'm a coward for not saying it earlier? What are you saying?
We are.
No, they would memorializing be happy. Wonderful They'd be people. Happy that I'm sharing their laundry.
Yeah. Good for them. You know what? Have kids. At that point, what, three kids? Two kids?
Yeah, three kids. And
had that passion still in the marriage?
Sure,
good for
the
them.
Joy of Sex. We found the Joy of Sex book in their cupboard, you know?
Well, it's healthy.
Yeah.
It's healthy.
The rest of their relationship wasn't healthy, but that was probably healthy.
You know, they say when the sex dies, the marriage dies, right?
That's so, right.
Hey.
Yep.
There you have it.
53 years together.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. 69
for every one of them.
72.
Hated each other for 43 of it.
That's right.
Yeah, can't stand each other.
12 minutes every other night. They're good. So Jimmy, media.
Back to the question. So with the media, right? There were certain media that I really enjoyed because you build that rapport with them, and you know you've got a relationship with them. And you know they're quite knowledgeable about the game, so the questions that they ask you are very, very good, and you know they lead you the right way. But there's nothing worse when you get someone that's coming up and asking you questions, and you're just shaking your head, going, "What are you asking me right now? This is brutal." But for the most part, yeah, I didn't mind doing interviews post game, after game. No, I never had an issue because I had a good relationship with a lot of the guys on the beat, so it was all right.
Did your accent help you, do you think? They found you a little bit exotic. Let's get Jimmy to talk again.
No, not at all. I think they hated my accent.
Probably.
Yeah.
Wait, you, Craig, were you like picked out? You're well-spoken. You know, have something to say, unlike a lot of your teammates, I'm sure.
Well, for years, it was parking lot press. We didn't even have press conferences. So they'd all be hanging around waiting for you to go to your car and ask you questions there, which you had no way of protecting yourself because they could write whatever they wanted. Really bizarre, crazy. It was a few years, I think a couple years into the Premier League before they did that.
Yeah.
They actually had a setup. So like, okay, we're going to have these players available and the manager, and they'll be made available this much time after a game. And back then, no, that wasn't the case at all.
Yeah. I think the weirdest thing for me, though, was when I came back and I was playing for Toronto. And I remember the first game, I came out of the shower and I got my towel on, going back to my stall, and there's about 20 people in there asking questions and want to do interviews. And that was just bizarre to me. It took me forever to really understand, like, why is the press in here right now when we're all getting changed?
Yeah, that's different. After the shower.
That was really, that's really, different. Really weird.
You know, it's true. Even being in the media in this country and being exposed to that, so to speak, it's wrong. I hated it. I hated going into the locker room post-match because that should be the salvation for the players. Somewhere just to hide away for a little bit, get your wits together, and then address the media somewhere else. But it seems that I always felt like I was imposing on your space in that place. I felt very uncomfortable.
That's why sometimes when I knew you were coming in, I was just buck naked going,
That's James, white, right?
James,
that's
what white. Kind of questions you got for me today?
Yeah, Jimmy, why the hell were you pulled off?
Really awkward. Going to make this awkward for everybody.
You were a bit, actually, you were a good interview, but you were a little bit surly at times. I was a little bit edgy, I kind of got from you when at TFC at first. Maybe it's because you're a little bit taken aback from the dressing room situation there.
Yeah, it was different for me just having the press come in as you're getting changed. It was weird. It really was. And like I said, I mean, look, some guys, obviously, when you came in, a few others, and, you know, you got it and you were getting good questions. And but I think a lot of the times, too, where we didn't have a good spell where things were going well for us as well, because we were a new club and, you know, the team wasn't winning. And it was some of the questions. And obviously, because I was a captain at the time as well, I knew I had to face a lot of stuff. And I didn't mind that, you know, speaking on behalf of the team. But I think it was just frustrating as well after a game. If you've lost and you're coming in, the press are asking you questions and you get a little bit edgy at times, don't you?
Are you
it's
kidding?
Only because you don't have time to decompress either, right? Because you think, and you know, James, as soon as that match was done, you guys were in there within about 6 minutes.
It's crazy. It's straight away.
Straight away. So nobody had that time just to go, okay, let me think a little bit and let me
decompress. And after losing 35 on the trot.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough to answer a question, a good question, because not joking here, but when you were losing most weeks and the team was in, you know, disarray, and Mo at that point had kind of disappeared, wouldn't be doing much media, as opposed to when, you know, prior to the team starting up, it was hard to get an original question. Like, Christ, what do you ask a team that, you know, struggling so badly? It's very difficult.
Yeah. And it didn't help. We had a revolving door and,
yeah,
you know, players were coming and going and. Yeah, it was a mess the first few years for sure. And the amount of times where I was thinking I was going, oh, can't believe I came back for this. But, you know, in the end, I absolutely enjoyed my time with TFC. And, you know, I had some good relationships with the media as well, just because, you know, so many times you're just interacting with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Strange times they were, that's for sure. But they've been written in word now and books and... It's still that's how you build history in a club, right? I think it's important that a club goes through that. And TFC had its moment, and then it's going to get a lot better again. They hope with Lorenzo Insigne arriving this Friday.
He's right, arriving in
Toronto.
You know, I always say, you know, when you build something, it takes an army, and everybody's got to play a role. You know, the players that are there when it first starts in 2007, that first group of players. You know, that first staff, the coaching staff involved, everybody.
Fuck all to do with it.
No, but it, you know, to start the club and get things going, and you got to go through those hard times, and eventually you start getting new players in to make the team better. And, you know, it takes everybody to build it and get to where they were. And I think that's why, you know, when Toronto FC won a championship, and, you know, it was emotional for everybody that was involved in the club from day one all the way to then, because so many people played a role along the way. To build what we were trying to build in Canada, and that was a professional football, and it took forever for us to get Toronto FC to come to fruition, and finally it was there, and that's why it was emotional when we did win it. And look, I love the club; I still got a good connection with it, and you know I want them to be successful because it grows the game in this country, not just Toronto, but Vancouver and Montreal. You want them to do well.
One thing that did actually happen though was the media did show up.
Mm-hmm.
They really did.
Yeah, big number. That press box was packed.
Yeah, always has been.
Those early years, yeah, it has.
Yeah, but it is interesting you say that there was only three cameras. How many writers were there? Was there a few?
I didn't see any, which is surprising. I mean, maybe they can get hold of them via Zoom. It's possible, you know. Players all came off the buses wearing their masks, right? They are still somewhat cautious with COVID, but obviously on the pitch and for our interviews, there was no issue with that.
You look like you got a suntan.
Probably burned. It's freaking so hot out there. Maybe Jesus. That too. Yeah.
Who?
Me.
Charms.
Oh, yeah.
Look at his nose. His nose looks a little red.
A little bit red, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yours too, Jimmy, but that's the 6 pints you've had since this podcast started.
No, so I was outside today, fellas.
It's all handicap. the veins.
Cap.
Getting some sun. I'm a bronzer, boys. I'm a bronzer.
Jesus. Are you really? Do you tan or do you just get red?
No, I tan. Are you telling me I don't look tanned right now?
You look red.
What? Look at these. Look. That's
your
tan.
Arms, your face looks like you
He matches the salmon.
It's 40 years. Yeah, it's the salmon t-shirt. Exactly. That's bringing the color out in his face.
You really do. You blend.
That would make a Scotsman look tanned.
So you're saying my face looks coral?
Yeah, you're a chameleon.
So are you guys going to be heading down to College Street, 6 p.m. Friday night, Cafe Diplomatico, and the great Lorenzo Insigne first sighting in Toronto? That's the plan. Open house. They're going to, I'm not sure the streets are being closed down, but they might be open for all the public to go and see. It's going to be a bit of a gong show, I think.
Why on earth would I want to do that?
That's my exact thoughts.
I'm with Stacks on that one. No, yeah. I'm not going.
I think it sounds, I mean, if you're a fan, I can see why you'd love it. I can see why the media might cover it. Well, I have no interest.
Well, I can understand why Craig wouldn't want to go, because it's a long walk.
JC has been waiting in the bushes for that one.
He really has.
I would laugh if the player showed up in your car.
Insigne.
No, but I mean, if I imagine they want it to be a little bit ruckus, a bit crazy, just for social media, right? And it'll look good across, you know, Italy, I'm sure. Well, certainly the media in Naples will report on this, I'm sure. And to see this kind of this gong show in Toronto, celebrating, welcoming this new, the next chosen one, so to speak. They're going to love it. But he'll be unavailable. I think the 9th is the next game after Atlanta this weekend, I believe. So he can't play until then. A lot of pressure on the guy, given how TFC is playing right now, boys. A lot of pressure. Do you think the average fan understands you need more than one player, and it might be more of a next season and see how good the team is then?
I think there's a percentage that he's going to drive him up the table.
Jimmy, you okay?
Well, at least someone can drive.
Jimmy's frozen. Or he's falling asleep.
Jimmy's
right there. Another one.
Look at him. He's froze with his eyes closed. He's still frozen.
Finally, the Newmarket internet's letting him down.
I'm back.
There you are.
No, I think, I think it's a little bit of time. I think we all know they need a few more players as well. You look, the team's quite young. You know, where's he getting the service from? You know, how are they going to play him? Are they going to play him as a drop forward? Are they going to play him up top? You know, and I think it won't be this season. I think next season when they start making a few more trades, getting a few more players in, releasing some players, that you start seeing them really build the team around this guy.
Won't this also put a lot of pressure?
Him to score goals.
Won't this put a lot of pressure on the TFC, the regular TFC players too, if they don't succeed with this guy setting up and they're not finishing?
The whole team's
under pressure.
Look, he's got to get service. Has to get service. And if he's not getting service, then that's on the rest of the players not getting them the ball in the right areas where he needs to be to score. Now he's playing Napoli and he's getting service all over the park. You know, fullbacks bombing on, wide players, midfielders joining in, setting them up. So he's going to have to adjust his game as well because, you know, is the quality going to be the same as what he's used to? No. So it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out.
He is used to playing 4-3-3, and that's what Bob Bradley's preferred formation is, 4-3-3. Yeah. But as we talked about last week briefly, Pozuelo doesn't fit into that system. But he's the kind of player who has the ability and creativity to provide service for Lorenzo Insigne. So if you're the coach, are you putting this on Pozuelo, saying, okay, you need to adapt to us here? We're not going to change things up for you. We've got this guy we'll change things up for. You've got to find a way.
Yeah, you have to. You got to find that guy that's going to get him the ball in the right areas. You have to.
Well, there's more signings coming, apparently. Rumors are there's a lot of players coming in, if not this year, then the next offseason. So it could be that 2014-15 kind of time when that changing of the guard, money being spent finally.
Yeah,
we'll see. But regardless, exciting time to see Insigne in Toronto. It's going to be great. Wonga, anything in your mail sack today?
Yeah, I got a great one from our boy, Dave Starkey. And it's kind of sitcom-esque. I remember a couple of sitcoms, The Cosby Show and Seinfeld had plot lines around this. And it's, do you guys have to watch a sporting game, sporting event live, or is recorded okay? If recorded, do you do everything possible not to hear the score? I have no issues watching a recorded sporting event, knowing the outcome. How do you guys, I know for myself, if I know the score, I'll just watch the highlights. I won't watch a whole game.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. Yep. But I will jump through games, but we can, you only watch so many live games, right? So watch one and then go back and skim through other games, basically. I don't like to know the result. Golf's a good game to actually watch on tape because when you could just fast forward all the commercials, go shot, 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 shot. So golf's good to tape. But
actually, soccer might be the worst one to tape because there is no breaks in play. You know, hockey too, you can potentially watch a hockey game and just fast forward through the commercial breaks and watch it in like an hour and 10 minutes, right?
How do you watch DAZN, Charms? Do you... If you missed a Liverpool game, would you watch the whole game?
No.
Never.
Unless it's a game that I should really watch. Say I haven't done this for a long time, but say I was calling a game or something, right? Then I'd tape games from the previous week and watch them, right? But right now, no chance. I watch a game live or I watch it on highlights, as simple as that, you know? That's why I think we really miss Match of the Day over here, right? That's brilliant. That's how people over there consume their football. You might watch one live game a weekend. You might, but Match of the Day at 5 p.m. on a Saturday is destination television. That's how you watch football games, extended highlight packs and analysis. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. 5 p.m.? Did you say 5?
Yeah, 5:30. Sorry, it's 5:30 here. I have a way of watching it here as well.
Yeah, I was going to say 11 o'clock. Over there it's 10.
Yeah.
11, or 11 o'clock, yeah. Coming home from the pub.
Yeah, but yeah. I operate inside the boundaries of the dark web and find my feeds elsewhere sometimes.
Yeah, no, to answer the question, I love watching live. And then if it's a Premier League on a weekend, I'm on my phone getting all the results, like Fought and Mob, you know, minute by minute action, seeing, okay, who's where. And I go through all the standings, all the leagues.
Remember the old Vidi printer?
And then I watch the highlights after.
I think we discussed this before, the Vidi printer. That was back in the 80s. I'm not sure. Jimmy may have been in a little bit later past that. Craig remembers it.
The dot matrix?
Yeah, exactly. Did all the results, and that's how you got your results on a Saturday. It was superb from every league. And if you say you missed the first division and like in the Conference South, like, shit, I've got to go through it all, you know? But it was just brilliant.
I remember, what was it on? Was it Sky Sports when it would come on and go, Arsenal 1, Manchester United 2.
Yep.
No, that wasn't Sky Sports. That was way before Sky Sports.
That's ITV, BBC. Wow. Yeah.
Was it BBC? Grandstand.
Yeah.
Was it Grandstand that did that?
It's Grandstand. Remember? Yeah. Des Lynam would throw to someone for the first division results. And Arsenal 1, Liverpool 0.
Goes Chelsea through all 3. The leagues. Scottish Division 2.
Would it take like 48 minutes?
You were glued to it though. You were glued to it, watching it.
What no highlights.
Nice job.
Oh, no highlights.
Results. And then you had your bookie slip and you're going through it all. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because they're the pool numbers, right? And the pool numbers that actually have.
Yeah. And then you try to guess the score before it came on.
Yeah. Imagine how many bricks are thrown through TVs back in those days, eh? When you get the result and you've lost, you know, your freaking mortgage.
I can see Jimmy breaking a TV. Have you broken a TV, Jimmy?
Yeah, by mistake, though.
Oh.
Yeah, but not.
Yeah, you put your fist through it by mistake.
No, never did that. Never. I wasn't that type of guy.
All right. I'm going to read one more, and this is a great comment for the whole team. Been an avid listener, and this is Neil at 18 to win. Been an avid listener for just over a year now. Recent pods have been more informative and more entertaining than
oops, ever. Until this one.
Keep up the great work, and please, more Wong. Thank you.
Thanks, Neil.
Great
Neil,
for everybody.
Question for Neil here.
It was great for everybody.
You should have saved that maybe for the next broadcast.
Yeah. Having heard Wong's recollection of a childhood memory today, do you still think that? Do you still want more Wong?
Yeah, I don't think he does.
About you, Craig?
Do you want more Wong? I should give him my number. I'll throw him my number.
More Wong than right.
Always.
All right, fellas. Anything else you want to get to?
Oh, silence is golden.
That's about it, probably, right? Hey, not bad for like the off season. I mean, we're covering stuff, aren't we?
Sure.
Yeah.
Not that much.
Oh, under 20s. Then. Under 20s.
They're through.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
Good round well of 16.
Done. Women are playing. Who do we have on?
Korea in a friendly on Sunday at BMO Field.
And we have on Friday, we have someone coming on, correct?
Amy.
For news and
Amy
such.
Walsh, yeah.
Amy Walsh.
Amy Walsh, yeah, former international. And we're tossing Canada. Obviously, a couple of, well, three really big World Cup qualifiers coming up after this career game for the Canadian team. They're going to qualify again. Yeah, by the way, it's pretty cool today. At the end of training, Julia Grosso was taking extra penalty practice. I like watching that. Just thinking what happened was it last summer? Was it the year before?
Two summers.
It was two summers ago, right? Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Euro was last summer.
It is.
Yeah, right. But yeah, she can pit the corners, put it that way.
Did she miss?
Nope. She pit the corners. She's getting actually coaching advice from one of the coaches about, I don't know what about. They're keeping it pretty quiet. Couldn't have the cameras turned on. So she was looking to improve even, but she was picking the corners pretty well. So if there's a penalty to be taken, and since he's not on the pitch, look for Julia Grosso.
All right.
All right, boys. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Dunlop, thank you for joining us. That was a fun 30 seconds. JC, thank you very much. Great opener as always, and great way to slide in a couple of car jokes at Craig's expense.
Well, you know what's going to be very expensive for Craig? A new car.
It will be very expensive. Anyone selling a car out there might want to sell to Canada's greatest ever goalkeeper? Give us a call. Drop a note on the Twitter feed. Footy Prime. Hope you enjoyed that. Brought to you by North Star Bets. And everyone, keep buying newspapers, okay?
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/Footy Prime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Show.